The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Dorf on Sports. Jeff Rich filling in for the Dorf Man in the big chair this week, and what a week it has been. Happy Labor Day. I hope you're all enjoying your extended weekend wherever you may be. Quite the weekend of college football. Some teams in the SEC flex their muscle a little bit. Others, not so much. There's football elsewhere. I think Ohio State may have surprised some. They may have done exactly what a lot of people expected them to do at home against Bowling Green in week one. And the game that I actually got to attend up in Laramie, Wyoming, didn't get it underway right away, and it was not settled with four quarters of football. Nice overtime football game up there between the Mountain West and the MAC Conference. I am joined this week by Shane Koenig, our resident Missouri Tiger, and once again my co-host. What's going on, Shane?
I feel the pain of the SEC today, having a little bit of mourning for the SEC teams, and just trying to get it over with. Get over it with an extra long day on Monday and be able to watch even more college football on a Sunday and get a chance to talk to you. So looking forward to it.
All right, we're going to talk a lot of college football. We're going to have John Poulter this hour to break down everything that's going on down the stretch of Major League Baseball. And we have a star-spangled show for you today. Keep it close, everyone. I'm Jeff Fritch. You're listening to Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Do your concrete surfaces have a green thumb you wish would go away? I'm Danny Lifter with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and I'll give you a couple simple ideas to remove weeds and grass from concrete right after this.
Step 1. Make a list of your weekend projects. Drywall, wash the patio, scrape the loose paint on the deck. Step 2. Pour yourself a cup of coffee.
Hey, Family Guy's on TV. Love that show.
Step 3. 2 hours later, back to your list. Step 4. Pick a project, break out the tools. Get it done. Step 5. Go ahead. One more episode. No guilt this time. Hyde Tools. Everything you need to start somewhere at thehideway.com.
No matter how well-groomed you keep your yard, if weeds or grass are growing in the cracks of your sidewalk or driveway, it takes away from the overall curb appeal of your home. Expensive weed killers will do the trick, but instead of going that route, try something for free. Plain old H2O is a very effective weed killer. That's right, water. All you have to do is put a kettle of water on the stove and bring it to a boil, then pour it on the weeds or grass that you want to kill. Basically, you're cooking the plants right in the spot where it's growing. While this is a great method for killing unwanted plants growing in the driveway or sidewalks, I don't recommend it for flower beds because boiling water will kill any plant it comes into contact with, including underground roots of nearby plants. I'm Danny Lifford with tips for today's homeowner.
Hey, we love Burger King grilled dogs. They're made with 100% beef, and they're 100%. They're so good, they make us want to sing like...
I can't believe it. Burger King made a grilled dog. Made with 100% beef. Flame grilled anytime you want.
Labor Day shouldn't mean labor at your grill all day. Get out of your backyard and get over to Burger King for a classic flame-grilled hot dog for just a buck. It's the Dollar Classic Grill Dog Deal this weekend, only at Burger King. At participating restaurants, valid September 3rd and 4th, limit 5 per transaction while supplies last.
My joints used to kill me.
I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
Welcome back on this Labor Day edition, Labor Day weekend edition of Dorfod Sports. Jeff Rich filled in for the Dorfad. I got Shane Koenig alongside. We touched on college football in the open, but we really didn't get into much, and I want to hold off on that for just a second because a couple of NFL items. Colin Kaepernick, consistent with his words, takes a seat for the national anthem in the fourth preseason game for the San Francisco 49ers. Santa Clara police have made their intentions clear that they do not intend to support the 49ers if this behavior continues. And that's something that we could talk about a little bit. But he was not alone in taking a knee for the national anthem last Thursday night. Eric Reed, his teammate, joined him in all of that. So, I know that we talked about it a little bit last weekend, Seth, or I'm sorry, Shane, but what is going on? How long does this charade continue with Colin Kaepernick, and how long does he continue to be a 49er?
I think he'll always be a 49er. I think that Chip Kelly is separating the aspect off the field. More importantly, I don't want to make this sound like it's an off the field thing, like we talk about off the field behavior when it comes to domestic violence or what we're arrested for or bad behavior. This is an ideal, something that has to do with his race and his ethnicity. So it's not something that he is being suspended for and they have to separate themselves because of a criminal behavior. So I think Chip Kelly's actually done a really good job of saying, you know, we're supporting Colin Kaepernick, the player. We're only worried about where he is on the depth chart, where he is as a player and developing him. What he does supporting this idea is his business, and what he wants to do with that is his business. So I think he'll always be on that team unless someone gets a trade for him. I don't think that'll happen due to this situation. I get why he's doing it, and I get that it is to bring attention to this. So if he is going to continue to stay strong in his belief, I hope that he continues to do it. That doesn't mean that I support the idea of him kneeling during the flag or during the national anthem, and that's the right way to do it. But if he really is going to be strong in the belief that this is going to make a difference, then I hope he continues to do it through thick and thin.
Well, I have a problem with him smearing the military, and even he could say that he's not doing it all day long, but his action is speaking that very smearing. So on one hand, I'm very upset that he's chosen this action for his activism, but I understand that when you want to make change, you can't be the status quo. You have to get in the way, and you have to be a pain in the rear end. But, on the other hand, there's a whole other conversation that Dorf and I have had offline about, Black Lives Matter and, the mess that had happened. I know that you're not in Missouri anymore, but you certainly have to be sensitive to the proximity of Ferguson and the whole thing that started this thing 2 years ago in August, has continued, and it's really reflected in St. Louis and, you know, with the Rams when they were there. I think that they were really the first ones to make this statement. And then, you get LeBron wearing the I Can't Breathe t-shirts for Eric Garner in New York, and it goes on and on. And I think that there's a conversation to be had, but I don't understand what Kaepernick's end game could possibly be. What's his metric to say that, all right, we've addressed this issue, or is he just going to be taking a knee for this 90-second to 2-minute song before every game for the rest of his NFL career?
Yeah, I think that when there was in his initial not press conference, but, you know, post-game presser, they asked, you know, what is it that you're hoping to get out of it? And he said, you know, I hope that we can make some changes towards, you know, racial equality, and that I would like to end violence against, you know, African-American community. And although it definitely is something that a lot of people strive for, there's always going to be someone somewhere that does something, even if it's by accident, that could be seen as a racist, racial motivated, anything against for a police officer. I mean, are we talking about racial profiling? Are we talking about just violence? Are we talking about, you know, he started talking about how it takes longer to be licensed as a cosmetologist than it does to become a police officer with a gun. So if they change that, is that the change that you're looking for? And it really does feel like there isn't really necessarily an end game idea. And although socially he is bringing some attention to some things and starting some conversations, it feels like that won't, it's not like it feels like he's going to get to the point where he's going to be like, I'm never going to stop kneeling during this song, because this is something that's going to be happening, because you're trying to change the behaviors of millions of people.
Is this the right PR play for the San Francisco 49ers brass? Not to turn the other cheek or look the other way, but acknowledge that it's happening and stop letting it be a story. And it's, you know, it's always going to be a footnote in the 49ers game notes, but it doesn't always have to be the headline. And, you know, I mean, we're going to have a regular season game. I mean, San Diego, obviously a very pro-military town, they gave him the reception they thought he deserved in that town. So I think that, people will get used to it and they'll move on. And I think that the 49ers, frankly, are kind of handling this the right way.
I believe that they are definitely doing the appropriate job of presenting Colin Kaepernick, the player, as a 49er, and then separating Colin Kaepernick, the activist, as an off-the-field person. They will present Colin Kaepernick in front of a microphone so he can answer questions, which I believe he, now that he has, and he is not shying away from that, and he's answering all the questions that are asked of him, I think a lot more people are becoming less vitriol and less angry with what he is doing, and they're trying to understand what's going on and why it's happening and why he feels that way. And so I think it is the right PR move. I think eventually, it, just like everything else, it'll fade, because they'll realize that Colin Kaepernick is a flawed individual that's trying something, but he doesn't really have an end game that'll keep this movement strong, unless all of a sudden more and more players, like they add another player and then another player, and by the end of the season, half the, 16 to 30 players are kneeling with him in support of that, or it goes league wide and they start to get some activism off the field as well, then it'll start to keep getting the attention that he wants it to happen, what other people feel that it is appropriate. But I think it'll go away and it'll fade. And if Colin Kaepernick, the player, starts to come out off the bench and play well, I think that'll actually be good for him, because then he'll be talking about football rather than kneeling at the beginning of the game.
All right. The Minnesota Vikings didn't feel they had enough good options on the bench behind Teddy Bridgewater after his grotesque non-contact injury at Vikings practice, which caused the practice to come to an end. So real quick, in about 30 seconds, the Sam Bradford trade for draft picks, is this a desperate move or a solid move by the Minnesota Vikings?
I think the Minnesota Vikings are looking at this year as one of their possible windows Rick Spielman, the GM, has always drafted well, other than a bad Cordarrelle Patterson trade and draft. He has built a team that is young and deep, and so he feels like a first-round pick is worth sacrificing and still get young players to build his team around. But I also think they're looking to next year. That Teddy Bridgewater's injury is pretty significant, so they might need a player for next year, and they might as well get one that is above average and then maybe even draft another one next year.
All right. Sounds like the Eagles either going with Carson Wentz or Chase Daniel. More likely Daniel. Do not care about 2016, much like my beloved Cleveland Browns. That's good for football. Let's get into some baseball on the other side. We're going to have our professor of sports, John Poulter, to break it all down for us from, I believe he's actually in the province of Quebec, so he'll be joining us from Montreal. So hopefully we'll keep the French-Canadian accent to a minimum there. But keep it close, everyone. I'm Jeff Rich. You're listening to Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. Prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest selection of music gear on earth at guitarcenter.com. The mighty Fender Telecaster. Though used to devastating effect by numerous guitarists, there are a handful of rock heavyweights that have thoroughly rinsed the full potential of this venerable model over the decades. Muddy Waters, Keith Richards, Jimmy Page, Bruce Springsteen, Dave Gilmour, Mark Knopfler, and George Harrison, to mention a few. For the full Telecaster story, join me over at Focus on Rock.
It's time to do what you love, and Guitar Center can help at the Labor Day Savings Event with up to 30% off guitars, amps, drums, keys, DJ, and more. Get a Martin Dreadnought or Auditorium Acoustic Electric Guitar, your choice, just $449. Select Martin Acoustic Strings, buy one pack and get one for a penny, or 20% off all Williams Digital Pianos. And don't forget to grab your copy of The List in-store with deals on major brands too low to advertise. Summer may end, but your music doesn't have to. Guitar Center's Labor Day Savings Event, going on now, in-store and online.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Jeff Rich filling in for the Dorf, Matt Dorf on Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. I got Shane Koenig alongside, and you know, we're that stretch run of Major League Baseball. You know, football's coming back. Baseball, you know, is really heating up, and it really heats up at the wrong time because it's taken away from the conversation, but certainly doesn't take away from our conversation that we have each and every week at this time with our own professor of sports joining us from Canada each and every week, John Poulter. John Poulter, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Jeff. Good morning, and good morning, Shane.
Hey, you know what? I saw something for the first time this weekend that I never experienced. I've waited out a lot of rain delays for baseball, but I actually had to wait out a lightning delay for football last night up in Wyoming. But I've certainly had my eye on the National League West. I thought that this series between the Giants and the Cubs this weekend was going to be a slugfest, was going to be an NLCS preview. And now you have the Dodgers on top of the NL West, and they're looking to get better. Clayton Kershaw's on his way back, and we're hearing rumors in Arizona that they are interested, if the Diamondbacks are willing to part with him, to reacquire Zach Greinke as well. What is going on with the Los Angeles Dodgers, John?
Well, I think the checkbook is talking again, as we've seen it happen many times. I was looking at the transaction page last night, and I saw that both Kershaw and Brett Anderson were sent out on rehab assignments to AAA. So from a Dodger standpoint, that has to be good news. Great way to get a couple of pitchers back, top-class pitchers that are going to slot right into the rotation without having to give anything up. Much better than any deadline trade you can make, but it's going to be a very interesting race, I think, there out in the West. I believe there's another six games, one series both in Los Angeles and in San Francisco between those two teams before the end of the season. So it's going to come down to the wire, and hopefully it's going to be decided head-to-head. But it's probably the only close race in the National League. I think it's quite safe to say now that Washington and the Cubs have pretty much locked up their divisions. So we're looking at the wild card race and the race for first place in the National League West.
John, do you feel like with the Dodgers and the Giants in that division, and with Kershaw, just like you said, Brett Anderson, Clayton Kershaw, Yasiel Puig not living up to expectations, and them going a little bit more with a youth movement than they probably expected, is this an unexpected wild card race and division race? It felt like at the beginning of the season it was going to be the Giants all the way, and they just haven't played up to expectations.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty fair comment, Shane. We've chatted about this on previous shows where we've said that, you know, the Dodgers have not been playing great baseball. I think when we looked at it last week, we were basically in agreement that the Dodgers kind of had played average baseball. I think they were 21-17 since the All-Star break, and the Giants had gone pretty much the other way, and they turned a 6.5-game deficit into a 2-game lead. So I think it's as much the Giants throwing this away as it is the Dodgers playing well. 21-17 is generally not the pace that you would expect a team to play and be a pennant contender. And it's been interesting to see this Cub-Giant series in Chicago this weekend that Jeff alluded to at the opening. And I think yesterday was probably the game that everybody wanted to see, when it was Arrieta and Baumgartner. Baumgartner eking out a victory for the Cubs, for the Giants. The Cubs trailed for most of Thursday's game. I watched most of Thursday's game on TV. And the Giants were in control of that game for the most part, and then the Cubs came along late, and then Chapman came in and shut it down, and the same thing on Friday. So at the start of the year, I thought the Giants and the Cubs were going to be the two best teams in the National League at the All-Star game. I still felt that way. I really don't know what's happened in San Francisco. It's got to be very puzzling to Bruce Bochy, the same way as it is to the average casual fan, but it's great to have a pennant race in September. And I think to your point, it is a bit of a surprise bonus wild card for the Dodgers.
And one team definitely not in the hunt in the National League Western Division, the Arizona Diamondbacks. A lot of expectations coming in, especially with the trade for Shelby Miller and the big contract for Greinke. You look at this thing with Tony La Russa, Dave Stewart, and, you know, they just extended Derek Hall for like 8 years or something like that as team president. But when you look at the baseball side of things, La Russa, Stewart, I see on Twitter from other baseball markets how much scrutiny this organization catches. Where do they begin to fix this thing?
Well, Andy and I chatted about this a little while ago offline. There was some rumors here in Toronto that Dave Stewart was on the hot seat as the general manager of the Diamondbacks, and it only made the news here because, of course, Dave Stewart was a member of the Blue Jays in '93 when they won the World Series. And I have to wonder if maybe it was a little bit too much too soon for both La Russa and Stewart in terms of their first shot at those jobs and the pressure that they put themselves, the team, the players under with the deals that they made. And you alluded earlier to the fact that the Dodgers might have some interest in getting Greinke back, and I've seen those rumors as well. And quite frankly, if I was the Diamondbacks and I could get good prospects back, I think that's a deal I would make, because clearly the Diamondbacks are not in a position to win in the next couple of years. They're saddled with a huge contract with Greinke. If they could get good value back for it, I think that's a deal that I'd be making if I was a Diamondback executive.
Let's get out of the NL West. It is going to be a good race, but talk about, you know, we're coming down the stretch, like Jeff said, and it's getting exciting, and people are getting into that position where they're either ahead and trying to get their rotation and team with the expanded rosters where they want it to be, or they're getting everybody on board to try to make a run. And like you said, you know, you have your Nationals, and then I think the NL West team is going to struggle in the playoffs unless Bumgarner and the Giants can get him on a rotation that he's pitching every other day. Who do you see out of the NL that's going to be a contender with the Nationals and with the Cubs?
Well, I keep coming back to the Cardinals, and we sort of look at the Cardinals as being 16 and a half games out of their division. So clearly they're looking at a wild card spot. We all know that the Cardinals have a reputation of being there when it matters. They've played very un-Cardinal-like baseball this year. I think they were, the last time I looked, I think they were 27th in overall defense in the National League, which is certainly something we're not used to seeing. They have not played well at home, which has usually been a bit of a strong point for them, but they do have the best record in the major leagues as far as a road team is concerned. And as a wild card team, they're obviously going to be starting any series other than the actual wild card game itself on the road. So that's probably going to help the Cardinals. They're starting to get some of their injured players back. I still see the Cardinals as being the best bet from a wild card standpoint to break that Washington-Chicago, what looks like a monopoly right now in terms of the top two teams in the National League.
When you look at the Washington Nationals, you've seen a lot of success with this organization since they moved from Montreal. But it's always fallen apart, and after it does, I think it's always the same theme. Oh, we saw these holes in the Washington Nationals a mile away. Are those holes there this year? What does Washington have to do to stop the bottom from falling out once they get to October?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I'm not entirely convinced that Washington is as good a team as they have shown in terms of the standings this year. They're up by 9.5 games. But I sort of look at the fact that every other team in that division has had its struggles, either right out of the gate, like Atlanta, or at some part in the season, like the Mets, Miami, and Philadelphia. I mean, you look at the Miami Marlins, they've been, to Andy's surprise, they've been sort of in this pennant race or this wild card race now for several weeks, but all of a sudden they're 2-8 in their last 10, and for the first time in a long time, they've fallen into third place, and they're right at 500. So I'm not 100% convinced that the Washington record is as good as it has appeared on paper, simply because I just don't believe the competition has been there in that division. So I think that Washington still has something to prove in terms of getting to that next step. And we've talked about their playoff failures in the past, and that's going to be one of those things that they're going to have to wear until they actually do break through. So I think the fact that the Washington team is perhaps struggling a little bit outside of the division, when you get to the playoffs, you're playing better teams, you're playing better pitchers. It's got to be a whole different situation. So I think the true test may not come for Washington until it is actually do or die time.
Hey, Shane, you got one more quick question on the National League, and we'll flip it over to the American League on the other side of the break.
Absolutely. Who do you think, you know, we're always coming down and we're looking at it. It seems like from the first quarter of the season through a lot of analysts, who do we see as those MVP candidates that as we're making a stretch run can make a big difference to separate themselves out?
That's an interesting question. I guess when you look at the criteria for an MVP, it's primarily the most outstanding player in the league as opposed to the team that's most valuable, a player that's most valuable to his team. So you generally tend to look at teams that win. Right now, I think I'd probably be looking at Chris Bryant of the Cubs. He's having a great season. He's only in his second year as a major league player, but he's clearly a dominant player in the game. And he's playing on a team that's not only doing well, but is running away with it. So my thought would be that right now, Chris Bryant would have to be the favorite as far as the MVP goes in the National League.
That's the voice of John Poulter, our professor of sports, breaking down Major League Baseball, specifically the National League this segment. On the other side, we'll get into it more with me, Jeff Rich, Shane Koenig, and John Poulter. We'll talk American League Baseball. Keep it close, everyone.
With the helpful hardware folks.
We finally agreed on a paint color, so I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Ace is the place when you're the labor on Labor Day.
Don't miss Ace's big Labor Day weekend paint sale. Now through Monday, buy a gallon of our best Valspar Optimus, get one 50% off. Buy our best value, Clark and Kensington, get one 50% off. Only at Ace. Offer valid at participating stores on Valspar Optimus and Aspire, Clark and Kensington, and Royal Brand Paint. Sale gallons must be of equal or lesser value. Limit 2 per household while supplies last. See store for details.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Pull out your smartphone and Shazam this now. Go ahead. I'll wait. Geico presents the Shazam 15, featuring the top 15 Shazam songs in the U.S. Make sure you Shazam now to check it out. Interact with Geico to gecko yourself and share it with friends. You can even get a free quote. Shazam now and experience more with Geico. The Shazam 15, brought to you by Geico. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't befriended you. Like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at Geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tired of calls, levies, and liens from the IRS or hiring others who don't get the job done? Call Wall & Associates and you'll never talk to the IRS again. The IRS has a program to eliminate tax debt, and Wall & Associates professionals are trained to maximize its benefits for you. You always speak with a live person with real support and real knowledge. We've helped thousands of taxpayers like you settle their tax debt with the IRS for a fraction of what they owe. We solve tax problems. Call Wall & Associates now, 800-480-5708. We have the professionals who know how to solve tax problems. If you owe money to the IRS, your tax problems are not going away by themselves, and the passage of time will only make matters worse. Act now, before it's too late. Call Wall & Associates right now to speak to a professional tax relief agent. Call 800-480-5708. That's 800-480-5708. Again, 800-480-5708.
I love iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio.
Love it.
Everywhere, man.
Seriously.
Everywhere, man.
20 million songs from 450,000 artists.
iHeartRadio.
Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota.
I create my own radio stations.
iHeartRadio.
Millions of songs, thousands of stations, one free app. iHeartRadio is that easy. Download the app today or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Jeff Rich, filling in for the Dorfman on Dorf on Sports. I got Shane Koenig riding alongside, and we've been talking to John Poulter about everything going on in this stretch run. As we have 30 games left in Major League Baseball, and we've talked National League. Now let's bring it over to the American League. And, you know, every week I look at the standings and I kind of see who's on that hot streak as we talk to each other when we air this program live at 8 a.m. Eastern or 8 a.m. Pacific time each and every Sunday. But it's the Cleveland Indians, kind of snapped out of their funk. They only take 2 of 5 or 2 of 7 on that West Coast trip where they played the Athletics for three. They take 1 of 3 there, but more disconcerting. And you don't look at these regular season playoffs as versus the playoffs as gospel or anything. But when you take 1 of 3 in Arlington, it is a little bit of a reason for concern. But they've come home. They've taken care of the Minnesota Twins, and they took the series from the Miami Marlins. These Cleveland Indians, they're holding off Detroit. I mean, have they held off Detroit's big run, and is Kansas City still an issue for the Cleveland Indians in the American League Central Division, John?
Well, I think that the last five games, the five-game winning streak has gone a long way to fixing Cleveland's issues. I think they were 6-4 in their last 10. I think they've held off Detroit. I was a little concerned for you last weekend when I saw that the Indians on the Friday night in the first game in Texas scored a month's worth of runs. You just kind of knew that was going to come back and bite them in games 2 and 3, and it did bite them a little bit, but... Fortunately, they've been able to hold off, and you know they're still in a bit of a race with Detroit, and maybe a little bit of a race with Kansas City. I don't want to count Kansas City out because it's a good baseball team. It's probably the team that is the best team that's built for its ballpark, as we've talked about a couple of times before. They've done a wonderful job in building a team and tailoring it to their ballpark, but. My personal feeling is that while Kansas City still has a good run left in them, I've got a feeling that they might have left it a little bit too late. I think Cleveland is probably pretty much home free in that division, and I know Texas was faltering for a little while as well, but you know they've now got a 7-game winning streak. They're 9-1 in their last 10, and all of a sudden that lead is back in double figures at 10.5, which I believe is the biggest lead they've had all season in the American League West. So I think unless something really, really drastic happens, Cleveland and Texas can book their postseason berths. The East is a little bit different story. For about 6 weeks now, we've been saying that's an I got it, you take it kind of deal, and here we are once again. Two teams, Boston and Toronto, 5-5 in their last 10. All of a sudden, still tied again at the top, and Toronto having their annual problem with Tampa Bay. And I was doing some research on that this morning, and since 2006, the Blue Jays have only won one season series from Tampa Bay. So that's in 11 seasons, they've won one season series. They still have a chance to salvage this one, but boy, I tell you, the last two games in Tampa Bay have not been vintage Blue Jays, and they're going to have to play a heck of a lot better baseball than that if they want to enter the postseason as the American League East Division champs.
Hey, John, we talked a lot on the other side. You had mentioned the Washington Nationals and their competition that they're playing against, and that kind of might have inflated their regular season. Do you feel the same way about Texas? The Rangers, you know, seem to be putting stuff together without – a huge dominating lineup when it comes to pitching. They have Cole Hamels, but they don't have that staff that seems to be dominating, but they're beating up on some teams that are either injured or in the A's that aren't exactly tearing it up. Do you feel the same way that they're really going to need to prove themselves in the playoffs as you do with the Washington Nationals?
Yeah, I think that's a very good comment, Shane. I think it's tempered a little bit by the fact that Texas themselves have had a fair number of injuries this year, so we haven't really seen a 100% Texas Ranger team on the field for most of the year. Every other team in that AL West has either been disappointing for the whole season or has had spells where they've been disappointing. Everybody knows that I thought Houston was the best team in that division at the start of the year, and I still felt that way at the All-Star break, but there's something not quite right in Houston. Seattle has looked like they were making a bit of a run for it, but they've fallen off lately. They're just 2-8 in their last 10. The Angels, although they're 8-2 in their last 10, have had just a horrible season, and you have to wonder what the future holds in Anaheim with that star-studded payroll that they have. And Oakland has shown signs of coming around, but you know, once again, they're now back 21 games below 500 and clearly out of it. So I think the Texas situation is a little bit similar to Washington. Plus the fact that Texas has been to the postseason several times and has kind of choked a little bit in one way, shape, or form over the last 4 or 5 years. But I think it's probably we owe them a mulligan in this instance because they haven't had their top lineup on the field either. So I think it's offset partially, to answer your question.
You know, John, there's an incredibly mediocre head coach in the NFL that really rarely loses his job. His name is Jeff Fisher, and he's the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, who are notoriously either 7-9 or 8-8, and there's an occasional 6-10 thrown in there. I see Mike Scioscia as that guy in Major League Baseball. It's almost like the Angels are just afraid that they can't breathe without him. What's it going to take? I know that they've won like 8 of their last 10, so it's bad timing on the question. But, you look at the season as a marathon, and Mike Scioscia just hasn't gotten it done for a very, very long time.
Yeah, that's a great point. And my personal feeling is that he's got the support of the owner there, so there's a great amount of loyalty from Moreno, the owner, and I guess he doesn't want to make a change. And the owner is very much hands-on, so the general manager and the previous general manager, DePoto, have always kind of been hesitant to make any major moves. Scioscia, I believe, along with Joe Maddon, is the highest paid, and Bruce Bochy are the three highest paid managers in Major League Baseball. And I believe that Scioscia still has several years to run on a fairly long-term contract. So there's going to be some dollars have to be eaten if they do decide to cut ties with him. But to your point, I think any other guy in any other city with any other owner with the record that the Angels have shown compared to the talent that they have on the field over the last 5 to 6 years, I think we would have been looking at least one or two managerial changes if it had been anybody else but Scioscia. Clearly, he's a guy that has an awful lot of say in what goes on in Los Angeles. Maybe that's the way that the owner wants it, and perhaps the owner is also afraid to pull the plug, but you'd have to think that if it was any other team, any other person, we would have been looking at a change quite some time ago.
You know, John, this is one of those years that I'm glad Derek Jeter isn't around anymore, because you look at this MVP race in the American League, and it's kind of underwhelming. It's not that there aren't great players. They're just great players, and they're not doing the most for their teams when you just look at the playoff race and the standings. How do you break down this MVP race? I know your guy Donaldson, could be a favorite, but he doesn't really present himself as a back-to-back winner.
Well, that's been an interesting discussion for a lot of weeks now. Not only do we have Donaldson in the MVP race, but Encarnacion, who's actually leading the team in RBIs. Mookie Betts has had a pretty good season in Boston. Altuve is having a monster season in Houston. I guess if they don't make the postseason, that hurts his chances. David Ortiz is 40 years old. He's in his last season. If he's given the award, do people see it as a bit of a sympathy award as opposed to something that's earned? But I look at the numbers that Ortiz has put up, and there's certainly cause for giving him the award too. So I'm kind of looking at it right now that it's a bit of a five horse race, and perhaps it's all going to be determined by which one of those teams or which two of those teams actually do make the postseason, and that may be the deciding factor.
I'm going to stick with the East Coast bias. You know, everybody, I know that Jeff and I are both not East Coast people, but sticking with the AL East, from a more of an outsider's perspective, watching baseball. Just as a casual fan that talks about it every once in a while, the Yankees had A-Rod sitting. They talked about Teixeira retiring at the end of the year. They were going towards youth, and then yet that youth has kept them and even driven them closer to the wild card race. They've lost their last two. They're 6-4 in their last 10. Is this a surprise, and how do we explain that?
Well, I think it's a surprise that the Yankees have changed their tune in terms of the way that they go out and solve their problems. We all know that for many, many years, the Yankees' problems were quickly identified and quickly resolved by quickly writing a check. That appears to be something that isn't going to happen anymore. They're now spending more money on the farm system. We've seen them deal two good bullpen guys for prospects in the last few weeks, and we've seen them start to develop some good players in their own system, Gary Sanchez, the catcher, being the obvious one, who seems to have come in and taken over that number one catching spot. Whether that lasts into next season, by the time he's been through the league a second time, only time will tell. But certainly we're looking at a new wave of the way that the Yankees have been built. From an outsider, I find it quite refreshing. It's nice to sit back and see the Yankees on what's pretty much an even playing field with everybody else in terms of trying to develop players rather than going out and buying them. So I'm looking at that as a positive thing, Shane. I probably see more American League East games than you do simply because of where I live. And I find it refreshing. So, you know, I sort of consider myself more than a casual fan in terms of the AL East. And I think it's great to see the Yankees on the same playing field with everybody else. And if another team is going to beat them, it's nice that they can all play under the same rules.
Do you feel, because here's what my mindset is, again, not seeing a lot more of the NL West and the AL Central being a Royals fan, do you think that they're just preparing for an offseason to load up on a couple free agents, or do you think they're going to stick with that youth movement and build from within?
I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. I could see it going either way, quite frankly. We know that with all of the farm prospects that they have been gathering in the trades of some of these players and the fact that they're cutting loose some of their bigger names and salaries, Rodriguez, of course, being the biggest one, and Teixeira retiring, and Brian McCann sort of looks like he might be relegated to the DH role going forward if, in fact, Sanchez can continue to play the way that he has played in the catcher spot. I think the Yankees probably look at it as being in a nice spot. They can either continue to develop these guys and save some money and put a competitive team on the field, or they can use some of these prospects as pawns and go out and make a bit of a killing in the free agent field. I guess Encarnacion might, and Bautista would be two of the big bats that teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox could look at. And clearly with Ortiz retiring, the Red Sox are going to be in that race in terms of signing a DH and a big hitter. I think it's going to be nice from a Yankee standpoint that they've got that advantage. They can kind of make a decision as to which way that they go. We all know that the Yankees are never afraid to write a check, so it would never surprise me if they did go that way. But I just have this gut feeling that they've sort of come to the conclusion that maybe there is another way to do it, and maybe raising your own might be a good way to do it. And if you've got the prospects, spend the money on the prospects and do it. But you never know with the Yankees. There's always that checkbook waiting to be issued.
All right, John, I hear the music. I want to thank you once again for joining us. That was John Poulter, our professor of sports. John, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. I'll be home next week. Have a good one, and we'll chat next Sunday.
Thanks, John.
All right. One more segment here on Dorf on Sports. Jeff Rich filling in for the Dorf Man, and you're listening to the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Dorf on Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich filling in for Andy Dorf this week. I got Shane Koenig riding alongside, and we didn't get into a lot of college football this hour, but I want to touch on the two biggest games, at least two of the biggest games. Alabama, I think that we all knew that they were better than USC. I don't think that we thought that they were that much better. And then Houston, I don't think it's a surprise that Houston won, but once again, are we overrating Oklahoma, Shane?
I think that I'll start with the Houston game first. I watched pretty much all of that game. I think once Oklahoma's run offense was derailed with some injuries and setbacks there, that Houston was in control of that game. They had a really hard time with both Pirine and Mixon. But Houston looks like a well-coached team with a young up-and-coming offensive coordinator coming from a great program and a great coach in Ohio State and Urban Meyer, and has put a lot of time and effort into growing a program. He had a chance to go to South Carolina and stayed in Houston. I found it interesting that almost all of their recruits are within a 35-mile radius of Houston, and that's incredible, and it's a great opportunity for recruiting. And Oklahoma has always been a promise. They should be good, but they usually aren't. And Alabama just reloads. They develop. They get young players to jump in and buy in quickly, and they're always going to be good with the coaching staff and the recruiting that they do.
So many interesting things on the college football slate. We'll have to get into that next hour. We're going to talk to Seth Barenbloom. But that's going to do it for hour one. For Shane Koenig, for John Poulter, for me, Jeff Rich, you've been listening to Dorf on Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
What used to be Hurricane Hermine is ruining beach plans for a lot of folks in the Northeast this Labor Day weekend. Here's Tina Douglas with more.
Now officially a post-tropical cyclone, Hermine is spinning off the East Coast and moving slowly toward the Northeast. Bernadette McCollum lives in Cape May, New Jersey, and says she will stick it out
till the water gets above my ankles, and then I will take shelter elsewhere, wherever I'm recommended to go.
Tropical storm watches are in effect from North Carolina to New Hampshire.
Turkish tanks rolling into Syria again on Saturday as Turkey's military launches a second incursion in a week into that neighboring country to try to rid another city of ISIS forces. And just a few hours later, the Turkish military reported that it and Syrian rebels had retaken control of the city of Al-Ray, which ISIS had held since last spring. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit geico.com today.
President Obama's at the G20 summit of world leaders, but it got off to a rocky start yesterday after some confrontations between Chinese and U.S. officials upon Obama's arrival. It seems a member of the Chinese delegation began yelling at White House staffers as Obama was exiting Air Force One, a dispute apparently over where the U.S. press corps should be standing as the president was descending from the aircraft. It was one of several flare-ups between U.S. and Chinese officials ahead of the two-day summit of global leaders. A Chinese official reportedly attempted to block National Security Advisor Susan Rice from walking to the U.S. motorcade before a Secret Service agent intervened. Minnesota authorities recover the remains of a little boy who'd been missing for over three decades, as we hear from Craig Martin.
Jacob Witterling was 11 years old when he was kidnapped by a masked gunman near his home in 1989. His case was reopened last fall, and Danny Heinrich was declared a person of interest. The 53-year-old Heinrich led investigators to the remains in central Minnesota.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. ConservativeTribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At ConservativeTribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit ConservativeTribune.com. That's ConservativeTribune.com.
It was one of the strongest earthquakes to ever hit the state of Oklahoma, and it was felt in surrounding states, too. Yesterday morning's magnitude 5.6 quake centered about 9 miles northwest of the Oklahoma town of Pawnee. No serious injuries reported. Several buildings were damaged, though. Security at San Francisco 49ers home games could suffer because of some decisions made by one of the team's quarterbacks, as we hear from Jackie Murphy.
The 49ers quarterback has been sitting during the national anthem as a protest against what he calls the mistreatment of people of color by police in the United States. Local media reports a letter written by members of the Santa Clara Police Union say officers may stop working Niners home games if the team does not take appropriate action against the quarterback.
Multiple reports say the Atlanta Braves might be interested in a minor league contract for former NFL QB and Heisman Trophy winner 29-year-old Tim Tebow, who was showcased at a baseball workout in Los Angeles last Tuesday. Many scouts and reporters later agreed that he did show some pretty good batting power and above-average speed, although many felt that his fielding was subpar. Of course, Tebow last played organized baseball back in 2005 when he was a high school junior. Still, it sounds like if the Braves are interested, well, maybe a few of the other teams that sent scouts to the workout might step up now as well. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning to some of you, good afternoon to others. Hour two of the Dorfon Sports Show here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. You got Jeff Rich filling in for the Dorfman. I got Shane Koenig riding alongside for this Labor Day weekend edition of the program. Opening weekend in college football. And we had a little bit of a surprise in the opening weekend, but some good football games. Is it the greatest football, greatest weekend of college football ever, Shane?
That's always hard to say, but it definitely was one of the very first times in recent memory that I watched four games on the opening weekend of college football. So I would say in recent memory, it's definitely the best one I can remember.
Right, right. And these games are being played in different venues than is traditional or customary. You've got Wisconsin hosting LSU at Lambeau Field, and they win that pseudo-home game. And then you got Alabama at their week one home, the Jerry Dome in Arlington, Texas, where they just seem to put it on whatever challenger will step into the ring with them at a neutral site.
It was a one-sided whooping. The Wisconsin-LSU game, you know, LSU through thick and thin with Les Miles, no quarterback. They just don't contend. They have Leonard Fournette, and that's about it. And if you can slow him down or just keep them from throwing the ball at all, you have a really good chance of beating LSU. And that's been, unfortunately, the case for a lot of Les Miles' career at LSU.
We had a lot of lopsided games. I mentioned Ohio State 77. Bowling Green 10, and I'm wondering how I should evaluate those games. Should I fault the juggernaut for giving up the 10? We'll get into that and a lot more. Shane Koenig, Jeff Rich. The show is Dorf on Sports, and you're listening to the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Trying to keep cool this summer? I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how you can stay comfortable and save money on your energy bills right after this. Outdoor concrete projects are quick and easy with Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag. Whether you need to set a fence post, mailbox post, deck footing, or even a backyard swing set, Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag makes it simple. There's no mixing. Just pour the dry mix into the hole and add water. It sets hard in about 20 minutes and you're done. It's that fast and easy. Quikrete fast-setting concrete. Look for it in the red bag. If you're shopping for a new air conditioning system this summer, you need to know how to judge their efficiency. Air conditioner efficiency is rated by their SEER number. That stands for the Seasonal Energy Efficiency Ratio, and it applies to air conditioners and air source heat pumps. The SEER is determined by dividing the amount of cooling output measured in BTUs by the total electric energy input measured in watt hours. Beginning in 2006, all residential central AC units sold in the U.S. had to have a SEER rating of 13 or higher, 14 to qualify for ENERGY STAR status. The bottom line is savings. By upgrading from an older unit with a SEER rating of 9 to a new one with a rating of 13, you can save as much as 30% on your cooling cost. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Hey, we love Burger King grill dogs. They're made with 100% beef, and they're 100%. They're so good, they make us want to sing like...
I can't believe it. Burger King made a grill dog made with 100% beef. Flame cooled anytime you want.
Labor Day shouldn't mean labor at your grill all day. Get out of your backyard and get over to Burger King for a classic flame-grilled hot dog for just a buck. It's the Dollar Classic Grill Dog Deal this weekend, only at Burger King. At participating restaurants, valid September 3rd and 4th, limit 5 per transaction while supplies last.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
Welcome back, everyone. Jeff Rich filling in for the Dorf Band on Dorf on Sports right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. And football season is upon us. We've got plenty of college football to talk about this hour as that weekend opened with some thrillers and some snoozers. But, Shane, we've got NFL football, the Carolina Panthers coming out here to Denver. By the way, you're listening to a Mile High edition. I am here in Denver, where my co-host today, Shane Koenig, also resides. So I saw a very naked field Saturday night for the Colorado State, University of Colorado, Rocky Mountain Showdown, which was a very one-sided affair in favor of the Power 5 team. But the field was very naked because I'm sure that as soon as the game ended on Saturday or Friday night, they were ready to dress it up for the NFL's premier event, the Thursday night football game, featuring the defending Super Bowl champion. And it's a rematch of the Super Bowl with Carolina coming in. What are you looking for in this game, first game of the post-Peyton Manning era in Denver?
I think that I probably look at it a little bit differently than a lot of people. I think the general population in Denver and the Broncos fans themselves are looking at quarterbacks. You know, that's been the story from the time that Peyton Manning retired to the time when they traded for Mark Sanchez to Trevor Siemian coming around and being the number one quarterback to drafting Paxton Lynch. I definitely understand that that is something that is getting attention. What I look for is the game plan. I wrote about it on milehighbroncos.com is that Peyton Manning and Gary Kubiak's style of offense were two totally different aspects. They changed so many things when it came to the offense to make it work for Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning had to change a lot of his nuances and a lot of his habits that he is used to in his career, and they still won a Super Bowl. So I think that Trevor Siemian leading the team definitely is less experienced, but your bootlegs and your run game and your movement out of the pocket to get sides of the field wide open is something that they couldn't do. And I'm really looking forward to understanding how a younger quarterback that can move in the pocket or outside of the pocket and in the pocket is either going to help this offense or he's going to be the reason that they're not going to get back into the playoffs and make another run.
Well, we know the story of Super Bowl 50 was when the Carolina Panthers had the football and Denver's defense just shut him down. But the Broncos had to score points on that defense. He's minus Josh Norman, which I don't know is as big a deal as we might have thought when it first happened, when they first released him. But what does Sean McDermott do to game plan for a whole new Gary Kubiak Broncos offense with a new player under center?
Great question. I think they're going to do a lot to confuse him on the linebacker side, whether it be coming from the outside with pressure from like a Coney Ealy or on the interior, or they're going to bring Luke Kuechly. I think they're going to do a lot to really push a new quarterback that they talk about a lot in Denver. It's not that Trevor Siemian was the number one choice to be on that team and to lead this team, but the fact that he beat out Mark Sanchez, because Mark Sanchez isn't phenomenal. It's not surprising that someone else beat him out. It's the fact that Trevor Siemian, who was not an All-American, not even an All-Big Ten player at Northwestern, is the player that did that. So I think they're really going to disguise some pressure. They're going to disguise some looks so that it will confuse what is essentially a rookie quarterback.
All right. You know, we talked about some of the marquee matchups in college football, but you also have, you know, your mid-majors playing your Power Fives and Power Five juggernauts to boot. When you watch these games and you see Michigan beating Hawaii, who is coming back from a trip to Australia, 63-3 of the Big House, when you see Ohio State winning 77-10, you know, Baylor notoriously puts up 60, 70, 80 points on their non-conference schedule. Is there anything you can evaluate? I mean, do you really hold, you know, small amounts of points against them or taking their foot off the gas in the third quarter, which I didn't see Urban Meyer do? Is there anything to evaluate from those games, or do you just say teams better win? They, you know, if anyone gets injured, it's on them for playing these wasteful games.
I would say as a fan, you look at it as if you're a team that is ranked and you're playing a mid-major or a Division II team that is not obviously ranked, that you do need to put them away because that's what teams have done historically. If you look at it in terms of getting an invite to the playoffs, getting high rankings in the BCS, it's not necessary that they put teams away. It's more about strength of schedule. So that's why I think that when we see, it's interesting because I think that these big games at the beginning to make the best weekend, like they're saying, the best opening weekend ever, I think that has a ton to do with planning when the BCS started coming out. Four or five years ago, people started stacking their opening day games so that their strength of schedule was better. And it's interesting because now an LSU losing to Wisconsin doesn't necessarily doom them because other teams have played other good teams as well. And Oklahoma has lost. And now everybody's going to get into their conference. And if they lose in their conference, now all of a sudden Oklahoma and LSU are right back in the picture again. But I think what you're looking for as a fan is, are we a legit team? Are we going to have any problems with this? If we are, you kind of question what's going on. If you don't, then you're like, hey, we're right where we're supposed to be with our little, you know, play-in game to the season, or almost like a preseason game before we get into some big boys.
When you look at that Houston pseudo-home game against Oklahoma, now Oklahoma's got two big non-conference matchups before they get into that nine-game Big 12 schedule. It almost seemed like they could afford to lose, you know, either that game to Houston or Ohio State and rebound, but they certainly can't lose both of those games, correct?
Yeah, I think that puts them, no matter the strength of schedule within the Big 12, even if every Big 12 team they play plays up to their potential and stacks the Big 12, I think that losing to an Ohio State who looked phenomenal and runs, you're playing against the former offensive coordinator Ohio State with in Houston, and then you're going to go play against the originator of that offense that now has an even more stacked team in Urban Meyer. So they're going to see that offense again, and I don't think they're going to be able to stop JT Barrett any more than they did the Houston offense. So I think stacking those two games back-to-back is a tough one because I don't think they're going to win either one. Or they obviously lost one. I don't think they're going to win the second one.
any surprise in the Tigers versus Tigers matchup, speaking of Clemson v. Auburn?
I was surprised in Auburn's defense. You know, they Gene Chizik is a former head coach and always a strong defensive coordinator there and a defensive head coach. And when he left, their defense was always good, but I was surprised that they were able to keep Clemson off the board as much as they can with the offense and the Deshaun Watson-led offense of Clemson. I thought that it would be a higher scoring game one, and if it was going to be a win by Clemson, I thought it'd be a lot more offense than there was. I also, watching that game, was so intrigued slash confused by the offense that Auburn ran in that game, because you can't practice for it. They're putting three quarterbacks on the field, lining one of them up, the wide receiver, coming into motion and almost running like a wishbone triple option offense, and it was completely confusing. And if that's the offense they're going to run, it's going to be really interesting to watch Auburn this year. But I thought that Clemson would definitely put more points on the board and was surprised by Auburn's ability to keep them off the scoreboard.
Does Gus Malzahn hold the title now that Chip Kelly's gone, maybe a little less competition, but for that, you know, marquee offensive wizard in all of college football?
I think he is an offensive think outside the box type of guy. You know, I think that there's wizard. We say wizardry. I think it's just what's different, because if you look at, I think Urban Meyer and now Tom Herman, when he was there and now at Houston, to keep, you know, slamming on the subject, I think their offense is something that's different. You know, they're not going out and getting the pocket passer. They're going out and getting the athletes that can do both fairly well, from an Alex Smith to a JT Barrett to a Terrell Pryor. That's the type of quarterback they're targeting, and they build entire offenses around them. I think that consistency makes them a pretty smart group of coaches. But the offense that we saw yesterday from Auburn, and from what we've seen in the past with Cam Newton, there's no question that Gus Malzahn is just doing some wizardry with what he has available. He's taking what he has on the field and making it very difficult to practice against and coach against, and giving himself the upper hand against other teams.
Man, viva la college football. We talked about it a lot. We'll talk about it some more with Seth Marenblum from CampusPressBox.com on the other side. Hey, you've got Shane Koenig, you got me, Jeff Fritsch. The show's Dorf on Sports, and you're listening to the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Men is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest selection of music gear on earth at guitarcenter.com. The mighty Fender Telecaster. Though used to devastating effect by numerous guitarists, there are a handful of rock heavyweights that have thoroughly rinsed the full potential of this venerable model over the decades. Muddy Waters, Keith Richards, Jimmy Page, Bruce Springsteen, Dave Gilmour, Mark Knopfler, and George Harrison, to mention a few. For the full Telecaster story, join me over at Focus on Rock.
It's time to do what you love, and Guitar Center can help at the Labor Day Savings Event. With up to 30% off guitars, amps, drums, keys, DJ, and more, get a 5-piece SPL drum kit or a Simmons 5-piece electronic drum kit, your choice, just $3.99. A Casio 88-key digital piano, $2.99. Or a Beyer Dynamic vocal mic for $29. And don't forget to grab your copy of The List in-store with deals on major brands too low to advertise. Summer may end, but your music doesn't have to. Guitar Center's Labor Day Savings Event, going on now, in-store and online.
What the hell is going on out here? Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Dorfot Sports Show, hosted this week by Jeff Rich and Shane Koenig. And we've been talking college football. What the heck is going on out there? These teams have just made the transition from FCS. They're getting signature wins. Okay, Appalachian State didn't get it done against Tennessee, but they could have. And it wouldn't have been their week one signature win anyway, because 2007 forever lives in infamy. But South Alabama getting the big win against an SEC foe, maybe not the best SEC foe in Mississippi State, but certainly a big win for those smaller programs, and it was nice to see the Mountaineers from Boone, North Carolina compete. Here to talk about it all with us from the site, campuspressbox.com, the managing editor, Seth Marenbloom. Hey, Seth, let me introduce you to another Mizzou guy and Shane Koenig. He's joining me this week, and we'll be firing questions at you about the opening week here in college football.
What's up, Seth?
Oh, we don't have our guest on the line just yet. So
okay,
but these teams, topic still remains. These teams making the transition, and they're not only finishing 6-6, playing FCS teams and making, you know, December 20th bowl games. They're making noise in week one against teams that we know, maybe a Mississippi State team that's figuring it out without Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think that you're seeing the difference makers leaving the big schools. And I think that there's a lot to be said where we talk about, you know, you talk about transfers and the ability of people to transfers, and you have your graduate transfers where they're done with their big school and their commitment and transfer. And that's going to help a lot of these smaller schools that can take those guys on and play them immediately. And I think that with, I always said this when Missouri started to become more relevant, a spread offense is something that they don't choose to do it because it's the best offense. They choose to do it because they can recruit athletes and make that offense go forward a lot easier than when you're trying to run a pro style and you have to have the biggest and the best offensive lineman. If you can get an offensive lineman that can punch and go, you have a whole lot better chance of moving the ball with a spread offense of some sort, either running or throwing it, than you do with a traditional style. And I think that that proliferation of it, the expansion of it on a high school level, is helping a lot of these smaller schools as well.
Yeah, and we've seen Northern Iowa pull out a few of those games from the FCS level. They complete the state championship sweep, beating Iowa State. Probably not our guest Seth Marenbloom's favorite Big 12 team, but let's welcome in the managing editor from campuspressbox.com. And Seth, let me introduce you to Shane Koenig, a fellow Missouri Tiger.
What's up, Shane? Seth?
How's it going?
All right,
doing well here.
Okay, so we're going to start with South Alabama, you know, over Mississippi State. You know, is this a big surprise? Do we expect Mississippi State to be down this year? You know, I said in the open that the SEC flexed some muscle this weekend, but other teams not so much. So, you know, I know that Tennessee is your favorite subject, but let's talk Tennessee, App State, and South Alabama versus Mississippi State.
You know, that's an upset that I didn't see happening. I mean, I think you just alluded to this, that, you know, some of these FCS teams, they can really play. It's not like 10 years ago, you know, but I would have expected Mississippi State to have recruited well enough over the years, even with the loss of Dak Prescott, that they would have beaten South Alabama.
I would say totally agree with that. It was a pretty big shocker, because the recruiting that they're doing in the SEC puts some pretty good talent in their hands. What do you think the reason is? Because I had my ideas on the spread offense spreading throughout the nation on a high school level is allowing more smaller schools and even D2 schools to start that and get good players there. What do you see as the reason for these smaller schools being A, competitive, and B, winning games against their Division I counterparts?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with what you just said. You know, the spread offenses, those offenses rely on having top-notch athletes, not necessarily the same thing as top-notch football players. You know, so, you know, if you have a top-notch athlete and can get them in space, it doesn't matter if you're an athlete on South Alabama or Mississippi State. You know, if it's just, you know, man on man like that, you stand a pretty good chance of being not only competitive but winning the matchup. You know, so I think it has a lot to do with the spread offenses. I also think that it has a lot to do with, you know, teams from, you know, the Power Five conferences still overlooking and sleeping on some of these teams, even though year after year, you know, these lower level teams are proving that you can't overlook them.
Hey, Seth, what did you think? I know that Rhode Island is probably a tough team even when they go on the road, but you know, the crowd in Lawrence, Kansas, quite amped up for a early season win against a subpar FCS team.
You know, bless their hearts. You know, they storm the field after that win against Rhode Island. You know, but with that jab out of the way, I think David Beatty's going to do well at Kansas. When I watched them play in person last year, I saw a team that was well prepared but just lacked athletes. But they appear to be well prepared. So it was good to see Beatty get that win at Kansas and to get some momentum rolling at least a little bit. You know, but with that said, it was Rhode Island. So I think those tens of fans who stormed the field, you know, probably need to slow down just a little bit.
You know, Seth, we were talking about, you know, some of the games and this being a big weekend for college football, probably one of the better ones that I can remember in quite a long time. And I stayed up yesterday and was watching the Auburn Clemson game. And we've discussed this topic. Love to get your top idea on it. I don't know if you get a chance to watch it, but Auburn throws three quarterbacks, all three of them that are listed on their depth chart, on the field at the same time. They have one quarterback that doesn't throw a single pass and gets a handoff. Sean White is the only one that throws a pass, and the backup lines up as a wide receiver. What do you think about that, and what's the explanation? You think Gus Malzahn is getting too creative, or is it a lack of athletes or a lack of confidence in quarterbacks, or what do you think's going on there?
I think he's getting too cute, and I think he's getting too cute because he's panicking a little bit. I mean, we all hear that you can't have a two quarterback system because it's doomed to fail. Well, if you can't have a two quarterback system, then you certainly can't have any semblance of a three quarterback system. You know, a head coach gets paid millions of dollars, one, to coach football, and two, to make decisions. he needs to make a decision with who his quarterback is and stick with him, give the kid a chance. And if the kid falls on his face, whoever that quarterback is, make the switch. But give whoever the quarterback is a legit chance to be on the field and to be the man.
Stanford played on Friday night. You know, the game was probably closer than we expected it to be, unlike the Alabama game, which was a lot more distant than we expected it to be. What kind of a national power do you see at Stanford being, if you see anybody from the Pac-12 conference being that this year?
You know, I think Stanford is probably the best of what the Pac-12 has to offer this year, and they're certainly, in my opinion, the most established team in that conference. You know, we hear about USC. They always have essentially what amounts to an NFL roster, but just lay eggs and underachieve. You know, we've heard all the hype about Washington, and they, you know, beat the snot out of Rutgers, which is probably essentially an FCS team themselves, even though they play in the Big Ten. So I think Stanford is probably the most established team there right now. They aren't flashy. There's nothing sexy about how they play. They just go out and win games. That was a good win for them.
Seth Marenblum, managing editor at campuspressbox.com. Keep it close, everyone. We'll have a lot more with Seth on the other side. Jeff Rich filling in for Andy Dorf. This is Dorf on Sports, and you're listening to the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
An urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400.
Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. This is Jeff Rich filling in for Andy Dorf on Dorf on Sports, and we're talking college football with the managing editor of CampusPressBox.com, Seth Marenbloom. We talked a little bit about the mid-majors before the break there. I do want to talk about the marquee game, even if it wasn't the marquee game, the one that probably causes the largest seismic shift, and it was one of the early games, pseudo home game for Tom Herman and the Houston Cougars at NRG Stadium in Houston, with Oklahoma coming in 2 weeks before they host Ohio State. And the game was close for a while, and then you have another one of these 109-yard missed field goal attempt returns for touchdowns. We, you know, we saw it with Auburn in the Iron Bowl. We saw it last year on Monday Night Football with the Baltimore Ravens against the Cleveland Browns. And then again, we see it. We don't see it at the end of the game, but we do see it over the course of a football game on a long field goal attempt. The Houston Cougars really took over the game. I believe they had a 19-17 lead at the time, and that shifted things, and Oklahoma just never got back into the game. They weren't exactly beating Houston before that happened, but that was obviously one of those moments that you look at. Seth, some of your takeaways from Oklahoma v. Houston.
Well, for starters, the outcome didn't surprise me. I had picked Houston to beat Oklahoma for the past week or so. A lot of other people were laughing at me about it, but I liked Houston in this one. I think Houston is an example of a program that when you get athletes and you have a really good set of coaches and, you know, a top-notch head coach like Herman, those two things combined can really, you know, elevate the on-field results. And, you know, Herman and Houston have proven it now two games in a row. I believe they beat Florida State in their bowl game last year and then turn around and open the year against Oklahoma and, you know, take out another Power 5 team.
One of the things going into the season that you look at is Houston, the way that they schedule. Is going undefeated enough for them, or do they have to get help?
You know, I think going undefeated is going to be enough for them this year because, you know, they are ranked this year going into the year, and when you start the year off against a team like Oklahoma and you beat them, that really sets the stage. So it's not like they just played this completely AAC style of schedule from start to finish. They basically started their season off with another bowl game and they got the job done.
Seth, I watched that game as well, and the thing that stood out to me most was P. Ryan runs for some big yards in their first series. He gets dinged up. They try to go to Mixon, but he has some success, but they only rush it 12 times, even on 71 yards. We talked about in the last segment, Gus Malzahn getting too cute and a little scared of what's going to happen if he doesn't try to get cute with his offense. Do we feel like Oklahoma, or do you feel like Oklahoma just stopped doing what it was already doing best and got a little nervous and put it in Baker Mayfield's hands, and that was just too much passing?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think a lot of coaches have a tendency to panic and kind of get away from what's working, get away from the run game. And I think in this instance with Stoops, you know, he sees Baker Mayfield there, and he's supposedly a Heisman caliber candidate at quarterback. So he's thinking, all right, you know, this guy, he can handle it, you know, but. You know, you're playing a game against Houston, who they're really, like I said, really well coached and have a lot of talent. And you have to really, really examine the kind of changes you're going to make in game if you're Stoops and think, is it really what you need to do?
We're talking to Seth Marenbloom. He is the managing editor at CampusPressBox.com, breaking down Houston versus Oklahoma at the neutral site at the Texans Stadium in Houston. Seth, there's one of those off-season topics that's going to kind of bleed into the season this year while we're talking about Houston. And more teams are finding out that they've been disqualified from the Big 12 expansion search. Is Houston solidifying its resume, or are they hurting themselves with their own success in 2016 as those talks with the Big 12 continue?
Well, I mean, I'm still not completely convinced that we're going to see Big 12 expansion at the end of this, you know, basically 16-team courtship. You know, but if we do in fact see expansion from the Big 12, I think Houston's a no-brainer for them. I don't think their winning, you know, hurts their cause. I think their TV ratings in the Dallas-Fort Worth area last night certainly solidify their argument that they should be included.
Seth, who do you think is? I mean, I don't disagree with you. You know, as a former Missouri guy, and they were looking to go elsewhere in the Big 12, making the decision to allow Texas to have their own channel, and that they wouldn't have a Big 12 channel, and that the SEC and Big 10 and now ACC and Big East all have their own, kind of fell behind and they're trying to catch up now. Who do you see as, if they do decide to expand out and get it to their actual name appropriate Big 12, is that other market or that other team that they would look to add?
I think the best programs that the Big 12 could add right now would be Houston and BYU. Cincinnati doesn't really do anything for me. I know they're still kind of thinking about UConn. There's the impression to me that they're trying to kind of give West Virginia maybe a buddy out there in the East and maybe try to expand into the SEC footprint. But I think if they're just looking at programs, it's got to be Houston and BYU.
You talk about the SEC footprint, and Alabama has certainly stamped their imprint in the Jerry Dome in Texas with big wins in opening week, you know, in the opening weekend, year in and year out. We know that they're the cream of the crop. What else are we seeing in the SEC? Is Georgia's win over North Carolina a signature win for that program?
I don't think it's necessarily a signature win for the program.
That was a poor choice of words on my part. But I mean, is that one where you say SEC versus ACC, and it's still not close?
I think with some of the teams it is close. And for like Georgia and North Carolina, I think they're both kind of lower upper tier programs in their respective leagues. I think it's a great win for Kirby Smart. Right off the bat, it certainly gets the Kirby Smart era, you know, off on the right foot. You know, in terms of where these teams are in their conference hierarchy, you know, and you know, the SEC in particular, I think this league is excessively top heavy this year, and there's a big drop off. There isn't a whole lot of depth in the league, I don't think, right now, but what's on top is just exceptionally good.
Who do you think? I know I have my opinion, so I'd love to hear yours. Is I totally agree with you on the SEC. I think the SEC East has a chance to be pretty darn bad this year, but you're talking, when you say an LSU, Alabama, Georgia, even a Florida, A&M coming away with the win, those are all really good teams. What conference do you think is the most balanced from top to bottom? Because I think the SEC at the end will have a team there, and everybody will say, oh, the SEC, but I don't think they're very deep, just like you were talking about. Who do you think is a team that, one, is our conference that's really deep, and two, do you think that that conference being deep is going to hurt them to get into the playoff, whoever you think is the best team in that division.
Are you still with us, Seth? Hey, Shane, why don't you go ahead and give your thoughts on that?
In my opinion, I think we talked a lot about, you know, Stanford and they're a really solid team. I think that the Pac-12, from what my option of it is, I think the Pac-12 is going to have a real tough opportunity of getting someone into the playoff unless Stanford can do what they did last year without a small blip in the radar screen where they got a little too far away from their running game and their offensive defensive line stacking people up like they've done throughout the time, because I think that they're top to bottom a very deep conference. I think if you're looking at, you know, the lower level, even a CU, and you saw them at CU, the CU fans here and then the University of Colorado are very excited because their team actually put together a good all-around game. When if you watch them, I've had the opportunity to go up there with a friend of mine, they play a very good first half, and then their second half, they just fall apart because other teams have depth, other teams have the athletes to last through four quarters, and I think even CU has proven that they could make a little bit of noise and make a couple of have a couple big wins. But I also think it keeps a Pac-12 team out of the Final Four. I think that they could beat up on each other and have 2 to 3 losses per team unless Stanford can make a strong run. So that's what I was kind of wondering, is what his opinion was on that. And what do you think about that, Jeff? Do you think that there is another conference out there that could beat up on each other and not have a team that shows up?
Well, I think that the Pac-12 North is going to cannibalize each other. I think that Arizona's loss to BYU in their own recruiting ground, it's a recruiting ground for both BYU and the University of Arizona, but I think that that really is kind of the center point in the Pac-12 is Arizona State, and Utah, whereas I think that Washington, Oregon, Stanford, all those teams are just going to beat each other up, so it's going to be brutal. I wouldn't even be surprised if you know, a team from the South that probably won't be UCLA or USC emerges. But we do have Seth back. Seth, you know, top conference, you know, best conference top to bottom.
I mean, I honestly think that it could be the Big Ten this year. The Big Ten East with Michigan State and Ohio State, that's obviously where the power lies in their conference. But when I look at the Big Ten West, where it's not on par with the East, it's certainly a whole heck of a lot better than, say, the SEC East right now. And they're going to be more, more admirable programs who are playing with a better product game in and game out in that side of the Big Ten.
You know, I really love the loyalty, and I think that you and I have discussed it offline, Seth. You know, rather going with the guy that's been there rather than the graduate transfer, and I was happy to see Wilton Spate starting over O'Korn there at Michigan. But one of the things I wanted to we're talking about CU, and one of the luxuries that they've had is that they haven't had to compete right away. So we've gotten 4 years of Seifu Liufau, and I've watched him grow into a leader on that team. And I think the Colorado might compete to get out of the Pac-12 basement this year. Any thoughts on the Rocky Mountain Showdown before we get out of here, Seth?
You know, that is a game that I watched, and Colorado looked good. But it was also against Colorado State. So I mean, I want to, and it is a rivalry game, I know, but I'd like to see Colorado play, you know, play one of these other Pac-10 teams before I'm really sold on them.
Hey, Seth, really appreciate you taking time out to join us. Look forward to talking to you all college football season. We'll probably put you back in the first hour going forward with the Dorf Band back next week. But speaking about being back, we got to take a break. I'm Jeff Rich. I got Shane Koenig alongside. You're listening to Dorf on Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
To achieve financial... Hey, you. Yeah, you. Pull out your smartphone and Shazam this now. Go ahead. I'll wait. Geico presents the Shazam 15, featuring the top 15 Shazam songs in the U.S. Make sure you Shazam now to check it out. Interact with Geico to gecko yourself and share it with friends. You can even get a free quote. Shazam now and experience more with Geico. The Shazam 15, brought to you by Geico. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't befriended you, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at Geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest selection of music gear on earth at guitarcenter.com. The mighty Fender Telecaster. Though used to devastating effect by numerous guitarists, there are a handful of rock heavyweights that have thoroughly rinsed the full potential of this venerable model over the decades. Muddy Waters, Keith Richards, Jimmy Page, Bruce Springsteen, Dave Gilmour, Mark Knopfler, and George Harrison, to mention a few. For the full Telecaster story, join me over at Focus on Rock.
It's time to do what you love, and Guitar Center can help at the Labor Day Savings Event. With up to 30% off guitars, amps, drums, keys, DJ, and more, get a 5-piece SPL drum kit or a Simmons 5-piece electronic drum kit, your choice, just $3.99. A Casio 88-key digital piano, $2.99. Or a Beyer Dynamic vocal mic for $29. And don't forget to grab your copy of The List in-store with deals on major brands too low to advertise. Summer may end, but your music doesn't have to. Guitar Center's Labor Day Savings Event, going on now, in-store and online.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Final segment, everyone. College football was in the air, and we just wrapped up with Seth Barenbloom, managing editor at campuspressbox.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Seth Barenbloom. Shane Koenig, thanks for joining me today. He writes for milehighbroncos.com, and it's time for his parting shot.
The excitement of the beginning of the college football season shouldn't end at the beginning. It should be looked at the end. I think it's going to make the decision of the Final Four so much more difficult for the entire selection committee, knowing that strength of schedule and losing a game at the beginning of the season usually doesn't hurt you against a quality opponent. So I'm looking forward to that drama at the beginning coming around at the end.
And follow Shane on Twitter at Shane_Koenig, K-O-E-N-I-G. And I am Jeff Rich, and my parting shot this week was that I left the Sun Devils and the Wildcat, along with the Heat, back in the Valley of the Sun, and I went on a little Rocky Mountain road trip. I went mountain westing, if you will. Saw Albuquerque's University of New Mexico taking on an FCS school on Thursday. Went to the Rocky Mountain Showdown at Mile High Stadium between the Colorado State Rams and the Colorado Buffaloes on Friday. Both games were lopsided. And then I get the overtime thriller that kept you up all night, Wyoming and NIU up in Laramie, Wyoming. Great times. Love the pageantry of college football. Love talking sports with all of you. Dorf will be back next week for John Poulter, Seth Barenbloom, Shane Koenig. I'm Jeff Rich. This has been Dorf on Sports, and you've been listening to the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Hey!
our show.
Maybe do it again sometime.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Dorf on Sports with Andy Dorf. Till next time.